Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole.
Dead air moments. I feel
paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean?
He's fat!
I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
But I'm not cutting it anymore. I'm old news and my new show sucks. Hi, I'm Chris Block. Nice to meet you.
Hello there again, everybody. It is Chris Block, the prestigitator of prickliness, here on this Wednesday night, December 30th, I believe, 2009. It is 8:01 here in Chicago, and alongside, we got two people in the booth tonight. Superstar, do we have you?
I am here.
Fantastic. And the WAD?
I, too, am here.
Now, you sent me a message a little while ago saying you were on location. Where can you divulge the location?
No, I cannot. I cannot.
Good. I am actually on location too as well tonight, but I don't want to divulge that one either. Definitely not right now. all right. Awful lot of things to talk about tonight. First of all, Superstar. And I'm addressing you, Superstar, because I've talked with you on the show about this before. I had last night. I had a little bit of an incident with the eggs again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, definitely. I had a little bit of an issue. For those of you that may not know, have listened to every single show that we've done, and God help you if you have. I'm a good cook, by and large. I could do the simple things. I could do some other things too, but the one thing that's given me trouble throughout my adult life is eggs. I don't know why, it never comes out right. And last night, I got home for a little while, trying to get out of here and go to another job. I decided to make myself some egg sandwiches, and didn't go too well. And basically, what happened was I had eggs all over the floor. And quite a disaster. Somehow the eggs, while I was cracking eggs and putting them into the frying pan, somehow the batch of eggs, the 12 eggs and the thingy that you get at the supermarket, flipped up in the air and then onto the ground and splattered all over the place.
So you're digressing. Before it was the actual cooking of the eggs. Now it's even getting the eggs into the pan that's the problem.
I'm down to level 0.01. I can't even get the eggs into the pan properly to burn them. Because we had the incident where a while back towards the end of the summer where I was out, my want on occasion to be out all night drinking and doing random other things. And I got home at, 7:30 in the morning. I decided that what would be a good idea at 7:30 in the morning on very little to no sleep, we'll cook some eggs. And I fell asleep on the couch, and 3 hours later the eggs were still, burning. I was lucky I didn't start the house on fire. And, just all sorts of random things. So, but basically what I did last night was, because I didn't have a lot of eggs to start with, it wasn't like I had a bushel of eggs in the refrigerator. So basically what I did was I just picked eggs up off the floor and put them in the frying pan. And I didn't feel too well when I woke up this morning, but I guess that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's the most sanitary way to cook it. Did you burn the eggs, though? Because maybe that's your key, is you should always drop your eggs on the floor before you try to cook them.
No, I didn't burn them, but they were a little crispy. I remember the first bite I took, I felt something lodged or, you know, like in my teeth that I felt like I was going to have to deal with for the rest of my life. Like I was never going to get it out of there.
Yeah, that's called random cat food.
Could have been. All right, so we haven't talked to anybody or you guys anyway, or people haven't listened since the holiday. How was your holiday wad?
It was good. I can't complain. I got everything I wanted underneath my tree.
And whatever you didn't get, I'm sure you'll buy.
You got that right. You know me well.
Yeah. And you're a superstar?
It was, you know what, it was relaxing, and I also got everything I wanted. You know, the days off from the regular job was probably one of the best things that I could have gotten.
Really? Well, that's awfully nice. You you didn't stand at the train too long on Christmas night waiting for me, did you?
No, I didn't. The train came and I got on it and I left.
I would have come.
I would like to thank Metro for that 51-minute delay without letting anybody know what was going on.
Was there anybody else there waiting for the train with you?
Oh yeah, there was 50 other. Well, I don't know any of them, so we'll call them 50 other lowlifes waiting for the said train.
50 other lowlifes.
Correct.
Okay.
The clientele of Metro riders from on Christmas night from Elgin isn't the type of people you'd run into at the Four Seasons. Let's put it that way.
Now I would have come and picked you up if that's what it came down to.
I appreciate that. It didn't come to that, but I do appreciate you willing to do that.
Yeah, well, I didn't. I had a very uneventful Christmas because I really, aside from Christmas Day, I didn't leave the house once. From like when I got home Wednesday night, the night of the game against Detroit, until Sunday night, the night the Blackhawks hosted the Nashville Predators, I left the house actually twice. Christmas Eve, I went to Jewel, and I got there. I walked in at like I don't know what it was. It was probably like 5:40. And I walk in, I got my cart, and they immediately make the announcement, the store is closing in 15 minutes. Now, I don't know if that had anything to do with the fact that I walked into the store or they were actually planning on closing at 6 o'clock all along. But, you know, I got everything I needed. And then I get up to the counter, right, and I always go through the electronic, the manual ones.
Self-checkout.
The self-checkout. I always go through there, and I don't want anybody doing anything for me. I'll do it myself. So, like, I get up to the line, and this girl, really, really cute little girl, she had to be, well, she couldn't have been 21 because she couldn't ring up my liquor. As sick as I was, I still bought liquor. She sees me coming with, I mean, because I had a huge basket. Like, I was racing through the aisles just throwing stuff in. And I get up to the thing, and she just takes one look at me. She's like, I'll do it. You know, so she's like, do you know how to bag? Like she said, that's how she said it too. She's like, do you know how to bag? I'm like, yes, I am very proficient at bagging. And
well, like, it sounds like a girl who probably has met you at one point or another.
Yeah. Probably.
People see you, they know you're good at bagging.
Yes, I am very good at bagging. Nice pickup there. Yeah. So other than that, now I spent Christmas Day with the family, and every other moment of that time period that I previously mentioned was spent in my bed or laying on the couch being completely useless. And I'm much better off now for it. But consequence was, and we did plan on doing a show for people listening, we promised one last week. I don't know why I so much promised one as I just sort of planned it with the superstar this past Monday. But... you know, I wasn't able to work at all during that time, so we're just going to do Wednesday this week. I haven't even looked at the schedule, seeing what we're doing next week. But I'll post it on the website tonight after I put up the show. Last night, the Blackhawks in Dallas, did you guys see it? Now, I know we have a DirecTV and an RCN basic cable subscriber, so, like, did you guys even see the game last night?
No. I did not.
Did you see any of it?
No.
No. I was going to do the whole internet website thing, but I was like, eh, that's all the way upstairs. Fucking TV's so small. Fuck it. I didn't even bother.
Okay. Well, moving along then. I did see, like, I do have DirecTV, but I did manage to see bits and pieces of the game by various different means. I saw a lot of the first period. I didn't see any of the second period because I was working out, but I saw the almost pretty much the entire third period. I mean, great game, very entertaining game. Probably Cristobal Huey's, I don't know that it was his worst performance of the year, but it's right up there. You know, I mean, it wasn't one of those games like, you know, I know that people kind of, when you look at the stats of last Tuesday's game against San Jose, people are sort of pointing to that game. It's like, well, the Blackhawks, you know, they run up 50 shots in the Nabokov, and QA faces 14, and somehow the Blackhawks lose. I mean, the Blackhawks lost because the defensive lapses that they did have, you know, Duncan Keith with his, you know, watching the puck and you know, having a brain cramp on the Danny Heatley goal. I mean, that's not Cristobal Huey's fault. I didn't think any of those three goals against the Sharks were really goals that you could point at Cristobal Huey and say, you know, they would have won, or at least would have been, you know, overtime shootout if it had not been for him. Not at all. Last night, definitely the Blackhawks lost because of Cristobal Huey. But, I mean, that's one game, and those things are going to happen. But, yeah, and I don't know that I read online today. Mike Kiley of Chicago Now, Blackhawks Confidential, wrote today. I think he was speculating more than anything else. I didn't read the article he put up today thoroughly, but I guess, I mean, there was no quotes in the paper today from Huey, so I suppose the inference or the speculation there is that Huey didn't address the media after the game last night. I don't know that to be true, but, you know, I mean, one of the things, like Brian Campbell, like last year, you know, the big gaffe that he had in the Detroit series, you know, what was that game? Game two of the Detroit series, the big gaffe. I mean, at least he stood up, you know, after the game in front of the media and was accountable, and instead of, I think the point that Mike Kiley is trying to make, and I don't even know that he addressed Campbell, is that, you know, Campbell was there to, you know, when all the reporters come in, you know, looking for that Brian Campbell quote, Brian Campbell was there. And last night, Huey has a bad game. People are going to come in looking for Cristobal Huey, and he's not there. So all of a sudden, you know, random other teammates are left to, you know, kind of do spin control for him. And that's never a comfortable situation for a player to have to stand there and answer for your goalie because, you know, you never know what to say. Usually there is no right thing to say. And, you know, I mean, unless Huey was injured or something, or he has some reason to be in the trainer's room and not, you know, not take 2 minutes to say, hey, you know, I had a bad night, you know, we'll get him next time. That is a bad night all around for Huey.
They can't all be winners, man.
So, I mean, New Jersey's in town tomorrow night. They're actually, well, if I turn around, they are now losing to the Pittsburgh Penguins. My eyesight does not fail me.
How many TVs you watching in there? You got to turn around and check the score?
I do. I have surround vision. Actually, I don't know. They're not. It's still 1-0 New Jersey. Nicholas Bergefors kind of had a crappy goal a little bit while ago. New Jersey's still up 1-0 in New Jersey. Brodeur in net.
Is he going to break any records tonight?
No, not tonight.
No more records for Brodeur this year?
I don't know about any more, but I know that, the record that he could break is you know, most hearts broken when he fails to produce yet again on the international stage. But We could. I mean, I guess we could talk about that. Team Canada announced today. I'm sure you guys know about that.
That I do
yes.
know about.
Okay.
We'll be able to help you out on that one.
Fantastic. So I guess we'll go through the roster here a little bit. But the goalies for Team Canada, I don't think any surprise whatsoever. Considering the year he's having up to this point, I think everybody pretty much at this point, again, the tournament isn't for another month and a half, but at this point everybody figures Martin Brodeur, the starting goaltender for Team Canada, kind of a toss-up at this point for who would be the immediate backup, Roberto Luongo of the Vancouver Canucks and Marc-Andre Fleury of the defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, any thoughts on those guys? And I mean, obviously nobody was left out there. I mean, there's really no other Canadian goalie of note that deserved to be in that threesome. But
well, they do have a good three-headed monster. I think Brodeur will be your starter. Roberto Luongo will be your backup. And his key to success will be shaking his head so all his hair gel falls out on the ice and everybody slips by his crease.
I don't know about that, but I do agree that Luongo will be the backup. Question I have for you, Block, is with the history that Brodeur has that you mentioned a minute ago, how quickly are they going to be to make a hook to Luongo if he starts to struggle?
Well, see, that's the problem. I mean, the fact is that the pool that they're in, I mean, I can't imagine that Canada's going to lose a game like their first week, you know. So it's like you'll see Brodeur, then you'll probably, in the second game, you'll probably see whoever the backup ends up being. I'm thinking it's going to be Luongo. I, that reputation that Marc-Andre Fleury has for, you know, giving up that one bad goal a game. I mean, it never seems to fail. It always once a game. You know, he somehow manages to screw the pooch. And I think that would make Canada nervous. So I think that those are the two guys that you're going to see. But, you talk about pulling the plug. I mean, unless it's within a game, you know, and all of a sudden Canada's down 3-0. You're talking about games. I mean, by the time they come down to pull a plug, it might be too late. You know, if he's playing the way he is right now, I mean, you can't help but put him in. But I mean, for my money, I mean, the last time that Canada was in the Olympics, their best goalie was Luongo, and I'd be going with him, you know. But we'll see. The rest of the team is particularly of note. Now, of course, to Blackhawks fans, the most important thing is the obviously the team, you know, the Blackhawks on the team. No surprise to anybody. Jonathan Toews is on there. I don't think that should shock anybody whatsoever. A little bit of a surprise, a minor surprise, is the fact that not only did Duncan Keith make the team, which I think it would have been a little bit of a travesty if he didn't. But Brent Seabrook also made the team, which, in my opinion, is more of an indictment on Keith as an individual and praise for Seabrook than anything else. The fact that Steve Yzerman couldn't just take Duncan Keith and pair him with somebody else, he had to bring Duncan Keith's security blanket with him. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. They talked a lot about chemistry and this being a chance that it was going to happen depending on how much Steve Yzerman valued chemistry, especially on that blue line. And obviously they do because they're Seabrook, the anchor back there to help him out.
Well, I think the chemistry thing that you point out is very, very important to Steve Yzerman. Because not only did he have Keith and Seabrook, but you look who else he brought on the team. He brought on all of the San Jose Sharks' first line. I mean, he's got to be thinking chemistry in this team he's putting together. Or else he wouldn't have brought, you know, just those two together and nobody else. He brought San Jose's top line, and he brought the Hawks' top defensive pairing. So I think he's looking more at the whole team picture working out, you know, the chemistry part of it. So I have no problem with it. I think Seabrook's a fantastic player. Plus, hopefully he'll lead with the right.
And his value just went up again.
Yes, I can't wait for that contract next year.
You know, I mean, in a way, you know, it's they're not thinking about it today, but, I mean, this is another, unless those two go to the Olympics and are the reason why Canada loses, I mean, this is, you know, again, Seabrook is a lot better than anybody's giving him credit for today, because all of the praise, you know, up to this point has been aimed at Duncan Keith. But Seabrook, in my opinion, you know, since the end of last season, all throughout the playoffs and up to this point this year, has been the better of the two. And, I mean, hopefully for him and for my opinion, you know, that continues through the Olympics and he gets noticed for it. But, I don't have a problem with it at all. I just think that it's something to consider. I mean, Seabrook isn't going because Duncan Keith carries him, because if Duncan Keith is carrying Brent Seabrook, then Duncan Keith could play with anybody. And you know, Steve Yzerman isn't concerned about chemistry. You know, I mean, you talk about chemistry. If you want to talk about guys that got left off, Marty St. Louis, one of the leading scorers, at least of Canadians. I believe he's fourth of all Canadians in the NHL right now in scoring. He doesn't get left off. Do you think maybe the reason why he gets left off when you're talking about chemistry is the fact that Canada absolutely did not want Vinny LeCavalier on the team?
That could be. LeCavalier is playing on your fourth line in Tampa Bay, and what's he going to do down there? He hasn't impressed anybody since last year. So
he was always in the mix. Go ahead.
He was a write-off before they even sat down and figured out the roster, I believe.
Well, they do bring both Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf on. I'd imagine, you know, you talk about, let's just go ahead and list the forwards. You've got, obviously, Sidney Crosby, Rick Nash, Jerome Iginla, the San Jose line of Joe Thornton, Danny Heatley, and Patrick Marleau. Your possible third line, at least the way I look at it, is Tabe centering for Getzlaf and Perry. Your fourth line of Eric Staal, Mike Richards, and who am I forgetting? Brendan Morrow. And who else?
Jeff Carter.
No, Jeff Carter didn't make the team.
No Jeff Carter.
All right, well, I'm forgetting somebody. I should just probably pull it up.
Bergeron?
Yeah, Patrice Bergeron. No, Bergeron, that's right. Brendan Morrow and then Patrice Bergeron would be the 13th guy. Bergeron being the only player who wasn't in Canada's summer camp who actually ended up making the team. But I think that's how it shakes out. Taves is going to get a lot of ice time just because of how tenacious he is and good he is in both ends. He obviously compliments anybody he plays with. Very, very good on faceoffs. I mean, there's only one other player in the league that's better on faceoffs than Jonathan Taves, and that's Scott Nichol. And Scott Nichol's not going to be playing for, I mean, unless he could, you know, suddenly turn, you know, German or something, he's not going to be on. He's not going to be on any Olympic team. So that's. I just see Taves getting a ton of ice time. Richards will play a wing. Staal, you know, I mean, if Staal's playing better than Taves, you know, in the Olympics or over the course, you know, once they get there or over the course, then yeah, he'll play with better players than Taves. But I just see Taves getting a lot more ice time than Eric Staal, at least the Eric Staal I've seen this year. All Groups, they're for Canada, U.S., Switzerland, and Norway. So not too much competition there. U.S. starts off with Switzerland in a early afternoon game on February 16th. And then they don't play Canada till February 21st, which is a Sunday mid-afternoon game. So that's a countdown to that game. Because you would assume that Canada will storm through both the Swiss and Norway. U.S. will probably have trouble with Switzerland, just because I think they always do. Group B is Russia, Czechoslovakia, Slovakia, and Latvia. And Group C is Sweden, Finland, Belarus, and Germany. Any early predictions?
I don't know about predictions, but I did read earlier today that Timo Solani is going to play in his fifth Olympics. That's amazing if you think of the longevity there.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's... I mean, what was it? It was 92, 93. So yeah, I mean, he's been around. I mean, he goes back to the time when the Olympics were just were non-NHLers. So that's how he gets in five. But I don't know. I don't see a final without Russia in it, and I honestly don't see any. I don't even see the Canadians beating Russia. I just look at the Russians, and they're too fast. They're really strong in net. They're going to have the puck a lot, and they're going to score a ton. And you know, there's a ton of pressure on Canada to win, and Russia. I mean, they're going to be firing pucks from everywhere, and they're going to score a bunch. And I just see Russia winning the whole thing.
Well, it's basically the Washington Capitals, isn't it?
Well, I mean, there's a few guys there, but we should talk about the biggest omission from Team Canada, and it is interesting that Mike Green of the Washington Capitals does not make the Canadian Olympic team, but Drew Doughty does. Now, I know, Wad, I know that you're a big Mike Green. You can't have a fantasy hockey team unless Mike Green is on it.
Actually, I can. I just have to trade for Patrick Kane to get him off my team.
I mean, your thoughts on Green not being on the Olympic team?
Well, I don't think Mike Green really serves a purpose on that team. You know, going back to what we were saying about the whole chemistry thing, he's a fantastic player. He's a great offensive player, but I don't think that's what Eisman was looking for. He figures he has enough offense on the front end where he's really not going to need a whole lot on the back end. And if you want a real defenseman, you're not going to want Mike Green, because he's like a Brian Campbell type. He's like an extra forward skating with the puck and shooting. And I don't think that's what Eisman was looking for. He wanted a defenseman, and he got defenseman, and he didn't want Mike Green. Maybe he thought he was rushing. He was on the Capitals.
I agree. I mean, that's not the type of player he was looking for, and no, that's that. I mean,
cut and dry.
Absolutely. Update, New Jersey Devils did shut out the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight at The Rock.
Did you have to turn around to see that again?
I did. I did have to turn 180. Yeah, 2-0. Jamie Langenbrunner added an empty netter there with 12 seconds to go. So, New Jersey coming to town tomorrow night. Be interesting to see. I imagine Brodeur will play tomorrow night. It's New Jersey wants to show how good they are too. And Brodeur's a workhorse, and the guy behind him is Jan Denis. So, I think you should expect to see Brodeur in net tomorrow night. Any predictions on who's going to be in the Hawks net?
Well, the goalie controversy is on now.
I think you got to come back with UA. I don't care what happened last night. I don't care if he didn't stand up and talk to the media after the game. I think you got to come right back with him. He's your guy. You need, don't wait until Saturday in St. Louis. Just bring him right back, play him, And if, you know, he's got something to prove, and this is these are moments in the season where, you know, I mean, it's like my, I'm still aggravated that Joe Quenneville didn't play him in the first, well, the second week of the season when Edmonton came to town, and it would have been Javi Bulin versus UA, and that was a game where, you know, not necessarily a gut check like tomorrow night would be, but that's an opportunity for Cristobal UA to kind of show his worth. You know, it's a machismo game. And tomorrow night would be the same thing. Not only is it, you know, the best team in the East, not only is the other, you know, the guy on the other end of the ice the best, maybe the probably the best the game's ever seen, but you're coming off a bad performance that you need to get out of your, you know, get out of your head right away, come back, have a great performance, get the fans back on your side, get your coaches and your teammates back on your side. Not that they, I don't think that any of them have lost confidence in it at this point, but just get that game out of your system, come right back, have a good one, and just move on. And, you know, everybody forgets about Dallas, but I think it'd be a travesty if he came back with Niemi, because, I mean, Niemi wasn't so hot against Nashville anyway. So, you know, come back with your
He was trying to find Mike Modano's wife in the skybox.
Aren't we all?
Yes. We're all trying to find the little Mike Modano's wife's box.
Hey, Block, do you think there would be a bigger chance to come back with Niemi if that game was in New Jersey?
No, I don't care where it is. You got to come back with UA. I think the fact that the game is in Chicago is, you know, like, again, I mean, we talked about it a few weeks ago. I've written about it. It's Quenneville's coddling of Huey and sort of his you know, his thinking that he's got to build Huey's confidence and sort of, it seems like it's like this, you know, he's got him on this trajectory where he has, you know, he knows where he needs Huey to be at the end of the season, so he's being very careful with who Huey plays, you know, when he plays, and you know, keeping him away from spots where, you know, he might do bad, you know, which is sort of reverse thinking of, you know, the way coaches usually handle their number one. But that's what he's done. So, I mean, maybe he sits him tomorrow night, plays Niemi. But this is one occasion where you got to bring your guy back and let him prove to you, let him show that, you know, that. That performance was a 1 in 15 performance, and you know, it's a no brainer to me. But I mean, who knows with Quenneville?
I think you'll see Miami.
Every show that we've done. Go ahead.
With all the thought that you put into that statement, and everything, you know, all the facts and the way you backed it up, you just solidified Miami starting.
Yeah. Every time that I've predicted a starter for the next night's game on this show, it's been the opposite guy. So I'm on record.
Right now the Emmy's getting ready to draft.
Yeah.
He's going that effing third man in. Wait till I find out where he sits.
Yeah. All you have to do is listen to Hockey Night. They tell everybody.
They tell everybody where we sit? That's not good.
Hockey Night, you know, I listen to, if you go over to HockeyNight.com, and it's not H-O-C-K-E-Y, it's double E, but HockeyNight.com, and listen to their show on Monday night. And this is something that we have to do, but I would actually like to wait until the halfway point of the season to do a halfway point of the season analysis. So probably next week on the show, we'll sit down and we'll talk about you know, where teams, you know, where the Blackhawks stand and maybe give individual grades and stuff like that. But they did that on last week's show. And, yes, they love to tell people where they can find me. Don't tell anybody where they can find Hockey Night, but, you know, where's Chris Block at? Tell everybody.
Divert the attention.
Yes, divert the attention. One of the things, and I always say this because it really, they gave as a grade, okay, they gave individual grades for all players, and I will copy them, and we'll do the same thing next week. Because tomorrow night is game 40 on the NHL.
Well, that's not the halfway point yet.
It's not the halfway point. The halfway point will happen while on Saturday night in St. Louis, and I'll actually be there. And maybe
did Hockey Night know where you're sitting there?
I don't even know where I'm sitting there.
Hockey Night does.
Yeah. All I know is that I'm tailgating before, and I'll also be at the casino. First thing I do when I get there, I'm going to gamble. And then I'm supposed to make an appearance at a tailgate. And so by the time I sit down in my seat, I'll probably be good and drunk.
So you'll actually be sitting outside begging for a ticket to get into the game.
Well, maybe. I know that I have a ticket. It's not in my possession right now, but I know that I have a ticket.
You have one in theory.
Yeah, so if anybody if anybody's going to the game down in St. Louis on Saturday, you know, send me an email and maybe I'll let you know where I'm sitting and you come see how drunk I am.
Boy, there's a contest I want to win.
Yeah.
This is a ringing endorsement.
I think I've won that one a few times, and can I not be in the contest anymore?
You want out of the contest?
I want to pass on the out-of-town contest.
Oh. Well, you already did when you got married.
Yeah. Yes, I have the permanent pass.
Yeah.
And then I went 5-hole.
Another mistake.
But,
you know,
look,
I should,
look,
you know, speaking of 5-holes, I was talking last week about, and we have an email here, someone asked me, like, why I mentioned on the show that I don't like to celebrate my birthday, and somebody emailed asking me, I never explained why, and like, why, what's my deal with birthdays? And here's the deal. Like, I don't want to be one of those guys, you know, or people that, you know, it's like, hey, it's my birthday, you know, like, you know, come celebrate my birthday with me, you know. I don't like that. I'm not that type of person. Like, I you know, that's for one. And two, it's like, even if you're like, I mean, for people that are like that, like my first, any time I ever hear that or someone says that to me, the first thing that comes to my mind is like, why? I mean, like, what the fuck did you do? You know, I mean, like, what is there to celebrate? I mean, the fact that you didn't go fucking nuts and off yourself, or you didn't get all drunk, get behind the wheel of a car and crash and kill yourself. I mean, is that what we're celebrating? I mean, maybe for some people that is something to celebrate.
Hey, yeah, I think you need to go back and listen to some of your previous shows and then be glad that you have made it to long enough to see another birthday.
Well, no, I am very fortunate to have made it this far, no question about it. But, I mean, I still don't want to celebrate it. I mean, it's nothing to celebrate. You know, because first of all, it's like, what did you do? I mean, like, you know, what did I do? Like, I didn't do anything. I mean, you know, your mother did all the work, right? I mean,
back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason why you're here is probably because your dad got too drunk and your mother went through 9 months of hell and then shot you out her vagina. You know,
the reverse 5-hole.
Yeah. It should be like another Mother's Day. You know, your mother sacrificed her vagina for you.
Holy
That's who
Christ.
We should be celebrating.
Jesus.
Views and opinions expressed by the host are his only.
But you understand what I'm saying, right?
Oh, I understand what you're saying. I can't believe I'm hearing it.
But it's true. I mean, like, but okay, well, like, all right, my birthday was, you know, a little while ago. Like, well, what is there to celebrate? I don't get it.
Being shot out of a vagina, apparently.
Well, I can't think of a reason to celebrate. I dislike the whole birthday celebration. It's like, if you want to go, I mean, I just go out like I normally go out, and if it happens to be my birthday, you know, and you want to say, hey, you know, happy birthday, that's fine. we don't have to make a big deal about it because I didn't do anything. I haven't accomplished anything.
Next year, instead of a birthday card, I'm going to get you an exiting the vagina card.
I know right now people are listening. They're thinking to themselves, like, oh, my mom had a C-section.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do about that card, Mr. fucking Hallmark?
Well, you know what, women.
Thanks for splitting her wide open and pulling me out.
Yeah, you know what you call a woman who has a C-section, right?
I can't comment on that.
The perfect wife.
Again, I can't comment on that.
There you go.
And that's the vagina talk.
Okay. Was that objectionable content?
Very much so.
Will the editors of Blog You In email me ad nauseum this week asking me to take this podcast down?
Now they will. you were fine until 5 seconds ago, dumbass.
Excellent.
Will there be more threatening letters this week because of the vagina talk? Tomorrow, before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to make a post on the website of a huge penguin, you know, spreading its vagina.
Even better, how about the penguin coming out of a vagina?
Can you add sound effects?
I don't know. I have to talk to my webmaster. I don't really have one, and the one that he is a master of web that I talk to everyone, so I won't see him tomorrow. So the answer is no to that question. But if you want, you could, when you go to the Third Man Inn, you could call me tomorrow, and I will make the sound effects for you.
Customer service at its finest.
There you go. I would plug our sponsors tonight, but I don't have anything in front of me.
Mr. Brady, you have a massive erection.
Yeah. I mean, I know who they are. But I
right now they're going, please don't say our name.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is that you jerk off the ball. I almost want to let this guy here jam you, and if it comes, it comes.
Awesome.
You sound like a gay.
All right, should we move along?
Please.
Yeah, please.
But, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
That's my tea.
Sure it is.
He's making eggs.
That's what happens when you turn around to check the scores.
Yeah. Should we do a scoreboard update?
Please.
I might get whiplash, but we can do a scoreboard update. In overtime right now, Montreal and Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay 1-1. Little Brian Giunta scored in the second, and I saw Curtis Foster score just a little while ago, or it was a while ago, but he scored. So that's 1-1. Calgary and LA are playing, not much going on there, and 17 minutes from now, or really 23 minutes from now, Washington at San Jose. That's a big one. One of those teams will win its 25th game tonight. And, one thing I did want to mention about Dallas, the Blackhawks have lost to the Dallas Stars twice so far this year in two meetings. And Dallas currently sitting 2 points out of the last playoff spot. Although they got to stop losing games in shootouts because they are far, far behind the three teams with 47 points in wins. But that's... we were talking about this last week, like teams that the Blackhawks don't want to play in the first round Detroit first and foremost, a healthy Detroit come down that to that time. But Dallas Stars historically have given the Blackhawks a lot of trouble. And that's another matchup. Anaheim. If Anaheim picks it up here and starts playing a little bit better and sneaks into the playoffs, as I assume they will, I would imagine that the Kings are going to fall out, maybe even the Predators, probably the Predators. And Phoenix has got a little bit to fall, but, I mean, do you really believe that the Phoenix Coyotes are sitting fourth right now? They have the third – I mean, can you believe that the Phoenix Coyotes have the third most points in the West?
Yes. Robert Lang is magic.
They have, I mean, they've played two more. The Phoenix Coyotes are at the half point of the season. We could do a Phoenix Coyotes, at the halfway point tonight because they've actually played 41 games. But they played two more games than the Hawks, but they have two less points. As great as the Blackhawks have been this year, they have 55 points. The Phoenix Coyotes have 53 on this date. That's insane.
You can't help goaltending, only 92 goals allowed all year as well.
Yeah. Where do you think they'll finish, though? When we're sitting at the 82-game point, how many? They have 53 now. How many do you think that they're going to have?
They'll finish with 94 points.
Yeah, I was about to say anywhere from 88 to 92, 94.
94 will get them in. Or they'll be right on the cusp. If they have 94... they'll be playing games that final weekend to determine whether or not they make it. Because I would think 95, 94, 96 is what's going to get somebody in. 94 might be 2 points short. But, yeah, I don't see Phoenix making it. I still don't think Colorado's going to make it.
Colorado's going to fall off the charts. They're going to finish 10th.
All right, so next week on the show, we're doing the Blackhawks at the halfway point in a speed version. I don't want to do an hour and a half on it like the guys at Hockey Night did the other night. And then
Blackhawks
we're also going to talk...
speed?
What's that?
The Blackhawks on speed?
Yeah, we're going to do speed analysis. And then we're going to talk about fantasy hockey next week.
Who are you going to cripple now?
Although, did you see the other night that Rene Bork had a hat trick?
Yes. Have you picked him up yet?
No, but I'm going to do it when we get off this show. Because, I don't have anything against Rene Bork. Rene Bork's, he's a nice guy. But I do not want to see Rene Bork succeed. And if I pick him up again in fantasy, like I did back in November... the night before the Blackhawks were in Calgary and Nicklas Hjalmarsson ran him over and he was out of the lineup for 3 weeks, he will soon be injured because as everybody that's in a fantasy league with me knows, and I'm in three of them, if I pick somebody up or if I have anybody on my roster, they'll be soon injured after that. So if I pick Rene Bork up again, something bad will happen to him. I attempted to trade for Marty Hablett. And the Minnesota Wild, the equipment van went on fire.
Chris Block, hockey, fantasy hockey hitman.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, you do know, I mean, Marty Hablett is playing great hockey right now for a guy whose center is Andrew Ebbett.
Are you waiting for us to say something about Andrew Ebbett?
I was kind of hoping you would.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Jeez, Andrew, I'm Ebbett. An idiot.
You were hoping for intelligent commentary out of us two?
Yeah. Yeah, probably a bad judgment call on me there.
Hey, I can say this, too, about you picking things up and running them over. That pretty much sums up your Saturday night with the ladies, too, doesn't it?
I prefer no tattoos.
piercings, and I don't like dirty feet. So if you fit any of that criteria, my email's on the website.
You're an asshole.
You can get run over. No numbers will be exchanged either.
You guys are an asshole.
Did I just get an Eddie Olczyk asshole?
Yeah. My co-host right there.
As William Blake wrote, the cutworm forgives the plow.
Let me just quote the late, great Colonel Sanders, who said, I'm too drunk to taste this chicken.
All right, enough about my personal life.
Back to hockey.
I did have a long conversation with a fine young lady this afternoon while she was smoking. Can I tell you a story about after the San Jose game last week?
Yes.
Since you guys didn't watch the game last night, and I don't remember anything from anything before that. So after the San Jose game, I went to, the Billy Goat. And I was in there for a little while, and again, this is another one of these games where people come up to me constantly all game, and they're buying me drinks. Like, I had five beers in the third period last Tuesday night. And, which, you know, that's enough. And, I had to take the bus after the, you know, from my work downtown, so I took the bus over to the game. I didn't get off work till almost 6:30. So, and I gotta find a way. I don't live downtown, so I gotta find a way home. So I just start walking down the street, and I stopped at the Billy Goat, and then I went to another bar, which I'm not gonna mention. But I was in there, at various points of the evening with Blackhawks personnel, or at least speaking with them, which we won't mention those guys either. But
actual personnel?
Yeah.
Did they know of you?
Let's just move along. So, I'll tell you. Let me first tell this. So, at towards the end of the evening, okay. Now you can just imagine this, right? You know, I've five beers in the third period. I don't know how many before the third period, and then we're talking about 3 hours later. I'm speaking with a group of people, and this one girl says to me, like, picks me, you know, I mean, there's all these people standing there. She points at me and she says, do you want to go outside and smoke? And I don't smoke, like, usually.
Pole.
Well, certain things I smoke, but not pole, but, like, but, you know, she was a good-looking girl, and I'm not doing anything. I'm just standing around. I'm very intoxicated, so what am I going to do? I said, sure, I'll go outside and smoke. So I go outside, and I don't even know why I'm telling the story, but I go outside, and she's like, do you need a cigarette? And I said, yeah. You know, she's like, do you need a light? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, are you sure that you smoke? I'm like, yeah. So she gives me the thing, and it's kind of windy out. So I turn my head, and I cut the area of the cigarette with one hand, and I go to light it with the other, and I can't get the fucking thing to light, right? I'm like, after the seventh attempt, she's like, she looks at me and she goes, you got to turn it the other way around. I was trying to light the filter. I knew at that point it was time to go home.
Any intoxicated smoker has done that more than once in their life. So don't feel too bad.
Well, thank you. On the other hand, that's probably a moment when my mother would probably not like to celebrate shooting me out of Regina.
I think this entire radio show is a celebration of that.
Oh, the other thing. All right. There's been this, I don't even know where this came from, but there's this feeling, and I should address this. People online are all of a sudden, I don't even know where it started, but all of a sudden there's this thing where people are calling me, say I look like Brent Sopel, right?
Brett Topol likes to light the wrong end of a cigarette, too.
I'm sure he has. I am absolutely 100% positive he has. But, I mean, first of all, I look nothing like Brent Sopel. I mean, the hair, okay. And I did get my hair cut over the weekend, and not having anything to do with that, but it was just time to get my hair cut. But I think that was the deal, the long, you know, all over kind of in the back and all that kind of, that was probably what it was, you know, and just stop it. I do not look anything like Brent Sopel. But, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But going back to that same night, on Tuesday night after the Sharks game, I'm in this bar.
Did somebody say, "Hey, Brent"?
No. But I think there's these three guys and a group of assholes, right? Like, I come walking out of the bathroom, and they see me, and, like, I came from work, so I'm dressed pretty nice. I got the big, you know, the big overcoat on. And, you know, they take one look at me, and they're like, "Hey," you know, and I don't know, like, they thought I was a player, and I assumed the player that they thought I was Brent Sopel. And, like, I immediately said, no, you know, you got the wrong guy. But they kept talking to me like I was fucking Brent Sopel. So I went along with it. Like, I don't know who was fooling who, you know, but, like, I talked to these guys for like, 2 minutes. And I had enough, but they thought I was Brent Sopel too. And I cut my hair, so I don't look anything like Brent Sopel anymore.
Hey, is Brent Sopel's wife hot?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Go tag in.
No. See, now this show has officially gone over the line. If it didn't before, now it has.
All night, apparently.
over the line internet radio.
Yeah, shut that one down.
Yeah, see, now Blog UN really is going to start sending threatening legal letters.
Excellent.
Oh. All right, so let's probably just look to the week ahead and get out of here. I want to watch this game. Obviously, tomorrow night, huge game. I predict the Blackhawks will... Yes, I'm going to do a prediction right now. The Blackhawks will defeat the New Jersey Devils tomorrow night, and they will do it in comeback fashion, being the first team all season long to beat the Devils after trailing after two periods. The Devils are now 20-0 when going into the third period with the lead. That will change tomorrow night, and the Blackhawks will win, let's just say, 3-2. How about that for going on a limb?
For you, that's a huge limb.
And then the Hawks are going to get smoked in St. Louis on Saturday night. And then after the game, so will I.
The wrong end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then we'll get to Sunday night's game, which I'll be at as well. But tomorrow night and Saturday with predictions. Put yourself out there on the line.
I, too, am going to go with the Hawks winning tomorrow night. Game-winning goal scored by John Madden.
Storybook ending?
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, I don't see it going as well. I see the Devils in a shootout.
So you actually have the Blackhawks losing a shootout?
I do.
For the first time in about 2 months.
I understand it's on a limb, but that's what I see happening.
And then Saturday, with the divisional matchup with the St. Louis Blues. People make fun of the Blues. You know, I was very high on them at the beginning of the season. They're statistically, they're a .500 hockey club right now, 17-17-5. They're really 17-22, if you ask me. But, I mean, they're a bad home team, a really bad home team. And not playing so well right now. They've lost three in a row, but they always give the Blackhawks fits. Saturday night in Scott Trade, what do you think?
I think the Hawks will win that game, although much of the game much of the players on the bench for the Hawks and the coaching staff will be confused as to why there's a Brent Sopel on the bench and in the arena.
My proximity to the bench will probably allow that for that to happen. Yes.
Yes. You'll see many puzzled looks behind the bench on Saturday night.
Okay. Superstar.
I see a 5-2 Hawks win. As you say, the Blues are awful at home. 6-13-2 at home in the Scott Trade Center. Hawks win 5-2.
And then on Sunday night, coming back home, I'll be racing up I-55. I'll only for a little while be distracted by all the Hooters in Springfield, but I'll be at the United Center on Sunday night as well. Anaheim Mighty Ducks in town, first of two Sundays in a row, that the Ducks are at the United Center for a 6 o'clock puck drop. You know, I mean, this is another one of them, you know, kind of a bad matchup as it's been, you know, the last couple of years, at least in the Honda Center. Blackhawks at home, though, on Sunday night. I say that this is the game that they win 5-2, basically. I don't see them having any problem with the Ducks on at home, anyway. For whatever reason, they just have a lot of trouble with the Ducks at the Honda Center. I say the Blackhawks, kind of a statement game on Sunday night, 5-1, let's say.
They're going to ruin the comeback of James Wisniewski?
That's right. That little fucker's going to be in the United Center on Sunday. Not that I have anything wrong. I have anything against James Wisniewski.
But you can spend all night explaining why he sucks.
And he does, and he continues to. He is one of these players, and the other one, I mean, you know, the two, I'll give you a little teaser for next week's show. The two Blackhawk halfway midseason point grades that Forklift and the CT gave out on Monday night that appalled me were Chris Versteeg and Patrick Sharp, because their grade of Patrick Sharp was an A-. I mean, if you're going to give Patrick Sharp an A-, I mean, I don't know how you could give it to him anyway, but if you're going to give it to him, it's based on, like, the last 2 weeks. And probably like a two-week period in the end of October and the beginning of November. And Chris Versteeg, who my mission in life is to enlighten people on how bad that guy sucks. Chris Versteeg and James Wisniewski, when I watch them play hockey, I am appalled. Disgust me. But yeah, so Wisniewski will be there, and he'll probably score just to piss me off.
I see another Hawks win in that game. I believe, I don't have the record in front of me, but the Hawks are well above 500 mark on the back end of day after day.
I, too, will predict the Blackhawks win. Much like the Hawks are in Anaheim, they will be staring at the Anaheim Ducks will be staring at the women, and the United States will be shocked at how much clothes they do have on, much to the opposite of the Blackhawks when they're in the Honda Center, where they stare at the women because of how much clothes they don't have on.
I know someone who is a Honda Center duck girl, whatever they
really?
Call them. Yeah. Actually, Superstar, she used to live in your building. Where you live,
really?
Right? Yeah. I'll tell you the story off the air. But
time to go duck hunting.
Yeah. But the quality of Anaheim Center duck girls is fabulous. The actual in like fandom, not so much. I gotta say, I would say that the Blackhawks, by and large, female-wise, have much prettier female fans than the Anaheim Ducks. And I've been there, I could tell you. What do you think about that, Superstar?
I'm waiting to hear the full story, but I'll take your word on it.
All right, Team USA today started calling teams, calling American-born players and dual citizenship guys that aren't going to make the team. So we're going to know probably either, if we don't know by tonight, we're basically going to know the team before it's announced. The plan right now currently is to announce the team after the Winter Classic. So you're going to have to sit there and watch the whole Winter Classic, no matter what the score is. And then after the game, they're going to make the big announcement. That's the plan, at least as of right now. But, yeah, so the Team USA is calling guys, telling them that they didn't make it, probably as we speak. I'm going to tell you who will make it. My predictions. I think I'm having data. All right. On the blue line, Brian Burke can't help himself. He's got to put Mike Komisarek on the team, which is fine. Mike Komisarek, Brooks Orpik, Brian Rafalski, Ryan Suter, Eric Johnson, and Ryan Whitney of the Anaheim Ducks. Those are your seven defensemen. Got any problems with that?
No.
Oh, Paul Martin, excuse me. It's Paul Martin's seventh.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Paul Martin, who's still injured, and will be out another, excuse me, 4 weeks. But if he plays, you know, even five games before the Olympics, they can't go to the Olympics without Paul Martin. He's too good of a player to leave behind. He's got to be there. He's their best defenseman. He's just got to be there. But that's the defense. At forward, and I'll try to do this as the lines I think they're going to be. But first line, Zach Parise, Paul Stastny, and Patrick Kane. The second line would be Bobby Ryan, Joel Pavelski, and Phil Kessel, which is kind of a weird line because you got three right-handed shots. One of the problems with Team USA is they have so many right-handed shots. I thought about putting Jason Pominville on the team, on my team, prognosticating, but they just have too many right-handed shooters. Third line, Ryan Malone, Ryan Kesler, and Dustin Brown, the best player in the world. And on the fourth line, R.J. Umberger, Brandon Dubinsky, the second best player in the world, and Jamie Langenbrunner. And 13th forward, St. Louis Blues, David Backes. Any quick comments on that?
That sounds good, too.
Well,
yeah, not really. Question I have is, how close do you think Jack Johnson is to making the team?
You can't have two Johnsons on the team. It's too confusing.
Got to have a big Johnson, though.
Well, they do. They have a big Johnson on the team. Jack is like, I don't know. I mean, there's defensemen that I, you know, Matt Carl's an interesting guy. Andy Green probably more so than anybody. I mean, if Paul Martin can't play, I imagine Andy Green, who's a New Jersey Devil, and it's probably a name that very few people know. Andy Green is a very good defenseman. You'll see at the United Center tomorrow night. It's hard leaving Andy Green off. Matt Carl's having a great season as defensive partner. Chris Pronger regularly. Those are two guys that it's tough to leave off. I didn't even have Jack Johnson when I listed my final 10. I didn't have Johnson in a part of it. I mean, specialty teams, I mean, it's hard. It would be hard. Like, if you played 4-on-4 and you were guaranteed a shootout every game, I think he'd be on there. But 5-on-5, I don't think he's not there yet. And I watch a lot of Kings hockey, and I'm kind of a closet Kings supporter. And I wouldn't put him on the team. Notable guys that I'm leaving off, and here's another guy: it's Tim Connolly. Like I said, Jason Pominville, who one person noted to me today after I posted those guys on that list on Twitter. One person emailed me, said that Jason Pominville was Canadian and I was an idiot. Well, no, you're an idiot, pal, because he's a dual citizen. And he's played for the U.S. before. Look it up. Jason Blake, Scott Gomez, Brian Gianta, Brian Ralston. Those are the kind of the guys that Tyler Myers. I mean, on the defense, I mean, the guy that I'm leaving off, 6'8", Tyler Myers, is just playing fantastic hockey, but he's also 19 years old. That kind of counts him out. But, yeah, that's the team, and I guess we'll get out of here. I don't know what we did tonight.
I don't either. Hey, Black, do you have a quick Winter Classic prediction?
Boston by 15 goals.
Enough said.
The Flyers are the epitome of suck right now. I mean, have you watched the Philadelphia Flyer game lately?
No.
I try not to.
Well, I did watch the one tonight, and apparently they won 6-0. So.
Well, there you go. You have to not tune in for Flyer success.
Yeah, if I watch that game on New Year's Day, the Flyers are guaranteed to lose. Because every time I watch the Flyers, they are awful.
They're going to put one over the Green Monster.
Simone Gagné had a hat trick tonight. Danny Briere sighting. Ex-Blackhawk Michael Layton with the win. Lundqvist got chased from that game. That's just fantastic for my fantasy team.
Might as well be injured.
Ryan Miller, Tim Thomas, and Jonathan Quick would be my Team USA goalies. Craig Anderson, that being said, got the win tonight in Ottawa. Not that that's much of an achievement. But, yeah. All right. You guys have a Happy New Year, whatever you're doing. You're doing special? Anything special?
I'm driving far away from the comfort of my house and going to visit with people that are going to ask me many times if I'm not using my tickets to give them a call.
Well, I am I'm not going to say what I'm doing tomorrow night, but I'm doing something. And Superstar?
A little get-together at a friend's house out in the northwest burbs, and it should be a good time.
All right. Do you have transportation afterwards?
Crashing there, but the 51-minute delay Metro, she'll be late again.
All right. Well, you good luck with that, and I don't have anything interesting to say.
That started at 8:02.
If you're going to a birthday party, congratulations to your friend's mom's vagina, and I don't know. Everybody have a good weekend, whatever you're doing. Good luck with that. You guys too, and we'll talk to everybody next week. Well, probably should plug that. I don't know. Probably Wednesday. Do a show Wednesday next week. How about that? You guys up for that?
Sounds fantastic.
Wednesday, the halfway point, and fantasy hockey, and probably random other musings that I'll have to contemplate erasing after the show's over.
Lucky Win will be calling.
All right, everybody. Good night.